I was born into a very, very orthodox family among Hindus in India. I don't know how many of you are aware what Hinduism is. Hinduism as a religion, as we understand, is idol worship, along with thousands of rituals and rites. That's what Hinduism was all about. There is nearly 30 millions of gods and goddesses in Hinduism. I boasted about all of them. I learnt about them in a very, very intricate fashion. Now, when I was a child, I was once questioned by a very learned German man who was a customs officer in Berlin. I happened to go there along with my father. As I got off the airplane, this gentleman asked me, "You look like an Indian and you've got a little mark on your forehead which tells me you're a religious Indian. Could you please tell me what was the meaning of the first verse from the book of Bhagavad Gita?" Now, that's a very religious Hindu textbook, a sacred text, as you might call it. I had no clue about that. I was a Hindu, yes. I was born into a priestly family, yes. They were all available to me, yes. But I had no clue what the first verse was. I could never tell him the meaning of it. I felt ashamed. That started my journey into my own religion. I started to feel ashamed of myself, and I learned all the scriptures in the original language they were written in Sanskrit. That's a very, very ancient language. It is not a spoken language these days. It is only written and read. Even till date, all the religious texts in Hinduism are available in Sanskrit, and they could be translated to other languages. I learnt about all these scriptures in a Vedic school, which means a school where they're taught all the Vedas. Now, Vedas are the main religious texts for Hindus. There are four Vedas. Now, these texts actually comprise of several illustrations of how God has made the earth, has given mankind the powers, has given mankind all the rituals they should be following, has given them art, a lot of it in a very, very religious perspective. And for one to read all those things is not common at all. I could probably say with confidence, less than 0.1% of entire India actually reads these original texts. The rest of the priests, they merely learn some of the rites and rituals and they earn a living out of that. Now, I actually went to a school where they taught all these scriptures in the very language they were written in. And I felt very proud of doing that. I enjoyed it. I learned all of them in very quick time. By the time I was 19 years old, I was so much into the religion that I used to perform marriages. I don't know if you have seen Hindu marriages. Some of them can last as long as 5 days. I used to perform a lot of long rituals, some very special ones. People thought I was a chosen one because I was good in my academics, but I was also good in my religious background. People thought I had an element of God because I was able to do all these things at a young age. It actually still sounds to me very silly that it happened that way. People used to call me a guru, a small guru, Chinna Baba as they called me. It literally translates as a small guru. People used to come almost every weekend, ask me of advice as to what to do for this, what to do for that. And I would give them a list of things to do. Admittedly, all were rituals. And at other times, people would come seeking even blessings. I also had interest in occult sciences, astrology, horoscopes, palm readings, all those. So people used to come to me even for that. And often when they come, because they think I have an element of God within me, they used to fall at my feet, wash my feet, and offer the oblations upon themselves. It sounds still very silly to me that this happened to me in my life. But the fact is, dear friends, I lived a life where I was at the hem, literally, of the society I was in. People thought I was carrying the element of God within me. I was treated like a king, not only in my family, not only in the community around, but I used to go for big meetings and discourses. At the local temple, which was a local seat of learning for all the scriptures in a way, I used to preach daily into some of the works in Hinduism. And I used to take great pride in that. Some of my accomplices in that were very high individuals in the society. People like the Chief Justice of the High Court, people like the governors of the area. A lot of those high people used to come and sit. And I used to take great pride in that. But the problem with the religious pursuit that I had is, I was so deep into my religion that I probably took the real essence of it. Not many Hindus would even know about this, but the real essence of Hinduism is that you have to follow your own faith fervently. And all other faiths are dangerous. I'm not here trying to blaspheme anyone, nor put down anyone. This is a fact. I have studied the scriptures and I can prove it. But the fact is, by giving myself into such kind of a thinking, such kind of a teaching, I had gradually developed a sort of hatred for anyone who did not believe in this. A little before those days, during my teens, I was in Saudi Arabia. My father was working. He was running a power plant for the government in Saudi Arabia. I lived there 5 years of my life. 5 years. In those 5 years, I was forcibly taught the Quran. You couldn't help it. No matter which school in Saudi Arabia you studied in, unless it was a posh American school, you have to read Arabic, you have to read Quran, which are a part, and there's another subject called Saudi Arabian culture. Now that actually put me so much off. I hated when people actually forced the Quran on me. Every week we had to go for lessons into Quran. I hated that. But I couldn't help it. After a few years, I decided I wanted to go back to India. I didn't want to face that anymore. And in India, now I have reversed the pursuit and I am now a very ardent Hindu, somebody who most people look to, and I felt very proud of it. But I also had this hatred harboring in myself. I never liked anybody telling that their God or their gods actually are higher, or even can lead anyone to salvation. I could never believe that. I thought the thousands and thousands of years of tradition that Hinduism boasts about obviously had more to offer. There was so much more substance to it than any other religion on this earth. I believed that. I believed that to such an extent that my connections at that stage were with quite fundamentalist Hindu people. Some of them you would find references to in today's newspapers, headlines or whatever, as being involved in the persecution. I'm sure you would have heard about all the problems in the state of Orissa in India recently. The main groups who were responsible for those were the very groups I was associated with, RSS, as they're called. We used to sit down almost a month. We used to have meetings and we used to scheme as to how we can put down others who talk about their religion. This is what my life was. I go anywhere, I'm treated like a king. People used to put me on a pedestal. They used to literally worship me. And I felt very proud of it. My parents were called after my name. I'm not called as someone's son. They are called my parents. What was interesting is, all my family, although we were not originally from a priestly background, as in embarked on that as our lifestyle, the whole family now got caught up with it. The whole community got caught up with it. Everyone. But the hatred within me only built so much that wherever I found a Christian, more so a Christian, I would actually try to put them down in every possible way. Try and sit them down. Argue with them. And if they do not argue, we'll discuss them at the next meeting as to how we can put them down again. And I like doing that because that gave me a sense of happiness that yes, people will know my religion is the most superior one. And honestly, my dear friends, if somebody really read Hindu scriptures, that is what they would know about them. And even somebody said Jesus Christ is the true Savior, forget about it. I would never believe that. I would argue with them so much that they would feel offended or even cry at times. There were several occasions as such. But there had to be a time. There had to be a time when God would put a brake onto such a life. And that time was during my medical school. By God's grace, although I was so deep into my religious pursuit, I was also keen in my academics. It was just God's grace. I have to say that because I would get up 4 o'clock in the morning, commit myself to the idols in front of me for almost 4 hours in the morning itself. 8:30 I would get up, get ready, go to the college, get my education, come back again, and go back to the temple. This was my life. Every day, filled with rituals, filled with rites of several kinds. At the local temple, I used to teach daily almost what the Vedas comprised of. And suddenly, when I got admission to medical school, it was all different. I came to medical school with an intention to continue my religious pursuit. At medical school, of course, it was a different story. Every day I would meet a lot of people. Some of them are Christians. And I would actively engage into discussions about what is the true religion. Who is the real God? And of course it was important for me to tell them because I believed that my gods were the real gods. There cannot be too many gods out there who actually lead to the same destination because not everybody believes in the same. There cannot be. There can be only one true God. And I believed that the forms of the same God that we have in Hinduism are the only ways to reach heaven. So I would sit everyone down and argue with them. Find out why they think what they think and try and even brainwash them. And I took very great pride in that. But there was a time when I was asked, in my second year in medical school, when I was asked a very simple question, and I had no clue as to what it meant. Now that question was as simple as this. Do you have a personal relationship with your God? If you asked me what to do to get so-and-so degree, if you asked me what should I do to get married, If you asked me what should I do to get this favor, I would tell you do this right and so many times and you'd get it. You have to do this sacrifice for so many times and you would get it. If you wanted favor from God in this aspect, do this and you will get it. What is this personal relationship with God though? What is this personal relationship? I had no clue, dear friends. I was completely shattered that for the first time there was a question that was posed at me and I had no clue as to what it meant. I felt ashamed. It would probably be difficult for you to understand why only one question. But yes, that's how it was. If you talked about religion and salvation, Hinduism has got several stories to offer. And you can pick and choose which story you like. But this one Hinduism never talks about, a personal relationship with God. Hey, I've never heard of that. But then it ate me from inside. I couldn't just stay like that. Now I decided at that time that I believed that Bible was just a book of lies and the best way to put this individual down was to actually read the Bible and prove to them that the Bible is but a book of lies. How can somebody who did not read my scriptures know more than I do? I could never bear that. People look to me for answers, and I don't have an answer for this question now. So what I decided to do at that stage was to read Bible. I started reading Bible, beginning from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, I already knew the components of the Bible because I was in Germany for a bit and I used to go to Sunday school there. But maybe just a week or two, really, enough to know what Bible comprised of. And in the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, I began to read with a lot of interest, trying to underline everything and show, look, this is farce, this is farce, this can't be right. I tried to underline everything and have my own arguments for those. The first four chapters, almost like a historical entourage, almost like a description as to what happened in times past. Come chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. I'm actually going to read those verses for you tonight. The book of Matthew, chapter 5, starting from verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I shall stop there. I heard of these words before: meekness, purity, holiness. But that's it. I only heard about these words. I probably can tell you the theory behind all these words. But on this occasion, when I read these words from the Bible, the very words that the Lord spoke from that mount, it was as if the Lord was speaking to me. Blessed are the meek. I'm not meek by any margin. Blessed are the poor. How about all the countless of thoughts that I harbor in my heart of hatred against others, of all the wild thinking, of all the evil thoughts? I'm not pure in my heart. But I could have just read these verses and just left the Bible away. No, it didn't happen like that. When I read these words from the Bible, it was different. I felt like the Lord was talking to me, pointing fingers at me. I just did not feel at ease at all. I could not be myself. I felt that the Lord was searching within my heart and actually trying to see if I can actually justify myself towards any of these claims I had. Yes, I was a religious man. Yes, the people looked at me. Yes, the people thought I had an element of God. Yes, they called me a guru. But what is inside me? For the first time, I felt so bad. I felt really bad that I am actually not as good as I think I am. And that's not a nice feeling, dear friends. To know and to have the knowledge of our sins is the most unpleasurable thing, if I may use that word. It is not pleasurable at all. To know that you're actually a very bad person, that's how you feel. What is going to happen to me now? I think I'm a good person, I think I'm a religious person, and the world thinks I am, and I know for sure from my scriptures that I'm going to heaven, but these scriptures don't say I'll go to heaven. Can I just brush Bible aside and say, look, this is only 2,000 years old, I don't have to follow this at all, I don't even have to pay attention? I couldn't just do that. Trust me, I tried to do that. I couldn't just do that. The words just stood out to me from when I read the Bible. Indeed, the Word of God, the living Word of God, the Word of God that transforms lives, that's how the Bible is known. Indeed. I hated myself so much. I didn't like it. I felt depressed. The only way I could get away from this is I thought I'd just close the Bible and just throw it aside. And that's exactly what I did. I closed my Bible and just threw it aside. But did I get my peace back? No. In no terms. I felt even more miserable. There was a question now put inside my heart about my own integrity. And I had no way to satisfy that question. I felt even more miserable that I'm just covering it up and throwing it aside. I felt so miserable for a few months I was not myself. My parents were surprised, what's happening to this guy? I was reading Bible at home for some days and they thought, okay, this guy's now on a different venture to prove from Bible that it is all wrong to the world. That's what they thought. They never knew the struggle I had in my own life, and I could not look up to anyone because I was literally at the top of my community there. People used to come to me. I was hardly 21. What should I do? What should I do? There's an old Indian saying, dear friends, and that saying goes thus, that you can cut a diamond only with another diamond. You cannot cut it with anything else. If I believed that my scriptures were as good as a diamond, I can surely use them to cut this book off. So what I did at this stage was a comparative study now between my scriptures and Bible. I also did a comparative study of several other religious texts, including the Guru Granth Sahib and the Sukhmani of the Sikhs. I also read Zend Avesta of the Persians. And of course, I had already read Quran. There's nothing new I needed to know from that. On this occasion, when I was reading the Bible along with my scriptures, it was different. I was reading my scriptures in a different light. The more I read my scriptures, I was just feeling the hollow within me growing and growing each day. I would read through my scriptures and not find anything which would tell me that I'm actually a good person. No. The problem of sin is not dealt with in any part of this world except in the Bible. Everybody would tell you, do this and do that. You can believe in your religion, you can believe in your idols, you can believe in good deeds, my dear friends, and you can believe in your ancestry. But none of them can make you feel good. None of them can take your sin away, can take the burden of your sin away. But what can do? I felt even more bad. And on this occasion, when I read my scriptures, I saw so many things contradicting each other. I'm not here to talk about those. But I felt even more miserable now. And at the same stage, when I read Bible, for the first time in my life, I started appreciating Jesus Christ as not only a leader, but he actually could be God. For all that he did, the miracles, the wonderful works, and all that he said, the words which are eternal in kind, heavenly words. No man can speak such words. Who could say that but God himself? I was beginning to appreciate the nature of Jesus Christ for the first time. He was not just an ordinary man or a great leader. He was God. By the end of my search through all the scriptures, now I did come to some conclusions. And one of them is, my scriptures will not answer my question. And number two, yes, Jesus Christ perhaps is God and is the only person who can satisfy my soul. But hey, this is only a logical conclusion. This is almost like A plus B whole square in your mathematics. I know what the right-hand side for that is. Yes, it's just a logical deduction. If my scripture is not giving me an answer, and the scriptures that in the first place pose the question, they might have the answer. And this man, who is God, called Jesus Christ, indeed has stirred up my heart. So what shall I do now? All I did from that stage was keep myself calm, read the Bible daily to see if I can find more answers. The more I read of the Bible, the more my heart found peace. The more I read the Bible, my dear friends, my heart found peace. Peace that I never had in life before. So much of wonderful things that happened to me in my life before. Dear friends, I was into black magic. I used to do a lot of special rites which used to make me feel exalted and euphoric, lifted up. My grandfather was actually a very big black magician. He used to move stones. And I've seen all that with my own eyes. And to have seen and experienced those, I can tell you, the peace that Bible gave me, the peace that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, was far beyond different. It satisfies the soul forever. It is not a touch and go peace, a touch and go happiness. It's not that. It's a lasting peace I began to have each day. I began to reason with myself. Okay, yes, I'm that. But hey, Bible is telling me things. Yes, I can be saved. Yes, I can be saved. So what if the world thinks I'm a great man? I know within myself I'm not as good. In fact, I'm a sinner. Again, these are only logical conclusions, my dear friends. Another day had to come by when the Lord had a special plan for me in my life. And that day happened to be a festival day for Hindus. And on that day, traditionally, I went up along with my family to the local temple and performed some special rites and rituals. And each year, year after year, I did that, and it was a source of pride for my entire community and family. But this year, I didn't want to do that. I did not believe in idolatry anymore. In fact, during my search through my own scriptures, I found enough references from my own scriptures to say that idolatry is a sin. And come to Bible, Bible condemns idolatry. It's one of the worst sins that is possible. And what about me? Probably the worst sinner then. Majority of my life, by the time I was 20, I was spending my time in front of idols. Probably more than a normal individual who was still a Hindu would do in his 60-year lifetime. Probably the worst sinner then of my kind in my own community. I did not want to go back to those idols. I did not want to. That was probably the first time in my life I felt so bad that, look, my family wants me to go, but I can't go and join them. I don't want to join them, but how can I escape? I said a very simple prayer. Until then, prayer for me was just babbling of some language that I would do on and different times and different numbers. I never knew that prayer was just simple means of communication with your God as to what just I felt in my heart. This was the first time I said a prayer in my heart. I said, Jesus, I don't want to go to this temple. Do something. That's it. And you know what Jesus did? I had a high temperature. 103 degrees Fahrenheit. That would probably be around 39 to 40 degrees Celsius of temperature. My parents did not force me anymore. Nobody forced me, in fact, that I should go to the temple. To me, that is a miracle, dear friends. I did not want to go. There was no reason I could fall ill. I was well until that day. Just that very evening, I had a high temperature, and my parents just had to leave me at home and go. I felt very happy. I felt very happy. I shut the door behind them all. When they all went to the temple, sat back, and that happiness vanished. A sense of gloom and burden overtook me. This was the first time in my life I began to feel that I'm such a wretched sinner. All the things I did, all the things I said, flashed back at me. It was almost like a little film that was rolling in front of my eyes. All the possible ways I have grieved people. I have grieved God. Everything I said. I felt miserable even more, as each of these situations came back to my memory. I felt terrible. And then, without my complete knowledge, I began to cry like a little child. And through that crying, I felt better towards the end when I just prayed, when I realized it was the Lord who was causing me to understand my problem. It was the Lord causing me to realize how great a sinner I was, how much I trusted in idols, in things of the world, in good works, in my own forefathers. All I needed was this moment when I just plainly gave my heart and I prayed, Lord, I want to be your child. Take me as your son. And the burden on my heart just rolled away. By then, I already read Pilgrim's Progress, and I was reminded of that instance when the pilgrim, when Christian, would find the cross and his hard back just rolls away. I felt that peace. That peace, I still try and remember and recollect, and it just gives me so much of happiness. Each day, I still carry that peace. No matter what happens, that peace is going to be there with me. That peace that, yes, I am not going to be condemned eternally. That peace, yes, I have an assurance now. My sins are many. My sin is big. But I have an assurance now that my sin's punishment has been met with on the cross. The Bible declares, the Lord came down to this earth in the form of a servant, him being God himself. He humbled himself to die an obedient death on the cross by himself, voluntarily. And it pleased God the Father that he would raise him up on the third day and glorify his name above any other name, that whatever is chosen there, every knee, every tongue shall bow in the name of Jesus Christ. Such a wonderful release of my heart I experienced. I had the assurance that I now have an eternal life. I have a hope. Yes, I'm going to die. Yes, every individual has got to die. Yes, at the end of everybody's life, they have to give an account of what they've done. But I have an assurance. My sins have been paid. That wonderful deliverance is something no one can afford to miss. Whoever you are, whatever community you come from, whatever religion you come from, whatever background you have, it's an experience you can never keep away. In your own way, in our own ways, we are all fools. But this knowledge is irresistible. You cannot keep this knowledge away from you. In my life, then started my Christian journey. I became a Christian that night. Yes, it's not about religion. I did not change a religious background. It's the covenant, spiritual covenant between me and my God. And from that day on, dear friends, it was not an easy life. Yes, I had a lot of ups and downs, but the Lord was with me. There were attempts on my life. I can tell you this. There were 5 times when my previous accomplices tried to kill me. One even needed me to be hospitalized for some time and stay home for 2 months. But I tell you, the Lord is faithful. He's a wonderful God. Through ups and downs, I'd been boycotted. I'd been kept and confined to my own self and locked up in my house on several occasions. My whole college, my friends in the medical school, including my principal, had warned me. But hey, the Lord was faithful. He was faithful enough to bless me, give me a wonderful believing wife and a family and 2 kids. My parents, my father passed away recently. My mother is in India. I have, and I believe in faith, that my father perhaps knew the light. He could not openly come out with it. And today here I am, in front of you, able to testify to you that the Lord is indeed a faithful God. You may not be a Christian. You may not be born into a Christian family. You may be anybody, but the Lord is faithful. You may say, I don't believe in God. That is only because you're trying to run away from the facts that are facing you. It's time you listen up to the message. Decide to love this knowledge of God. And I can tell you, the Lord is a wonderful God. He is a faithful God. He is more than willing to take every individual into his arms, bless them, and give them that assurance of eternal life. Yes, he hung on that cross that day. And he did that only because of his love for all of us. He paid the penalty for our sins. All the people in this world can claim of that wonderful, wonderful offer.